My wish for you is that 2023 is the year that you finally see the improvement you've worked so hard to create. And Yelp for Restaurants is here to help. This year, we're launching new tools and programs to make this year your best year. In addition to the content you already love, we're launching a marketing series packed with actionable worksheets. We've got monthly webinars focused on the best business strategies out there. And as always, Yelp offers best-in-class software to help you optimize your restaurant and maximize your profits. See everything Yelp for Restaurants has to offer by visiting restaurants.yelp.com today. Welcome to Restaurant Marketing School. I'm Josh Copel, a Michelin-rated restaurateur. Together with industry expert Anthony Hamilton, we're unpacking the tactics, tools, and strategies used by million-dollar marketing agencies to improve your restaurant. Join us daily to get an actionable tip you can use in your restaurant today. Today, we're talking about culture and how to make sure your culture is first rate at your restaurant.
Yeah, man, this is a big one, right? When you're talking about labor fixes, and I work with customers and they say, well, how do I fix my labor issue? It's like, well, let's hit the rewind button and go back 3 years ago. And let's talk about the type of leader you were back then, the type of organization you fostered, right? The type of behavior that you modeled. Because I think this gets lost on folks, man, is you're a role model every breathing second of every day in your employees.
Sure.
They look at you, they look up to you, they want your approval, they model your behavior, all of that stuff. But how often is an operator, because I know in my days, I took this for granted, and I'm guessing you might have too.
Absolutely.
Yeah. You don't look at yourself as being like that important. You don't look at yourself as a role model. In fact, oftentimes we're self-saboteurs, right? We look at ourselves the opposite. But I think culture starts first and foremost with the people at the top. There's no disagreements there. But the people at the top really need to look at themselves and say, what I want to work for me. Am I carrying myself the way I want my employees to model? Because I'll be honest, man, employees make 1,000 decisions when you're not around every day. Who's modeling the behavior that guides that decision-making process to benefit your organization? That's a question you have to ask yourself. Because if you're out back smoking, or if you're taking 15-minute breaks, you're dilly-dallying around all the time and clear visibility, your employees are going to think that's okay to do all the time.
Sure.
Right? Especially young, impressionable employees. You know, your professionals know where they can get away with it, but young employees specifically, new employees, they're modeling right after you, man. So you got to look at that. So we talked about in former episodes, we talked about training and orientation. That's an excellent place to start as far as establishing your culture, what your ideals are, what your mission statement is, so on and so forth. And those two things, or those three, I guess, things are the most important. So look at my behavior, and then look at my modules that are coaching people on how to behave within my organization. And then also, let's take a look around at your other employees. Let's take a look at your leaders. Did you want your kids to work for them? Do they make you cringe sometimes when they're talking to employees? Do you have to interject and be like, well, it's not that bad, Joe. We got to do it this way. If so, there's your problems. There's your pain points. And I'm saying you got to get rid of these people, but you got to coach these people, right? And don't just take the path least resistance. Have these micro confrontations multiple times per day to make sure that you are the guiding light keeping that ship straight on its course.
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I've got to tell you, the ability to enter into conflict was one of my greatest, probably still to this day, my greatest hurdle as a leader. And one of the things you said that really resonated with me is the idea of a micro conflict, right? Like the way that I got good at doing it, if anyone would even consider me good at this point, is constant criticism. And constant's probably the wrong word, but that rather than letting it all build up and then 3 weeks down the road, I sit you down and I have an hour and a half long conversation with you about all of the different ways that you fucked up. If you just do it in real time, hey, I just saw that transpire. Here's how we should have handled it.
Right.
You know, right. I heard you talk to this person this way. My preference is that you talk to people the way that I talk to people. Hey, I could tell that you are a little hungover today. I'm sure you've noticed I don't really come in hungover. My preference is that you model that behavior moving forward. And when they get used to hearing the criticism, you get used to giving it. And at the end of the day, critical feedback is essential as both a leader and as an aspiring leader. And
no
so
question.
We need to provide that if we want that to be the behavior that they model with our employees.
Yep. And honestly, too, there's a missing piece of that. It's got to come from a place of love. They have to feel loved, right? So again, go back to the onboarding process. Did you hire the right person, someone you can align with, someone that you agree with, someone that you genuinely like? that you may take out to dinner, right? I know that's not, you can't do that. That's a fantasy land to do it 100% of the time. But the fact is, our guy Danny Meyer said it best, man. It's that constant general pressure model. So don't take the shit personally. Employees mess up. That's why they need managers. If they didn't mess up, we wouldn't need managers or people running the ship, right? So when you walk in the back door, expect them to make the mistakes, right? That way it softens the blow. So when you talk to your staff and you said, hey, I noticed you were a little hungover today, your tone of voice is everything as far as that micro conflict's concerned, right? Now, are you coming from a place of love and a place of care? Or are you coming from a place of anger and frustration? Now, there's time for anger and frustration. But for the most part, if you come from a place of love, care, and support, your employees will take any words from your mouth and take it as constructive. There's almost no doubt about that because they know deep down that you care about them.
Let's make a wish list. So in terms of positive culture, what are the things that we should all aspire to have as part of our cultural makeup?
You want to have a place where employees want to be, regardless of the job they're doing. You want them to be excited to come to work. And I know that's hard to do, but we've all had those jobs where like you didn't necessarily dread coming into work. Like you would wake up and be like, oh man, I get to work with so-and-so today. That's exciting. Or we get to work on this project. So can you put together a group of like-minded individuals who get along well in the sandbox where they look forward to each other? That's my first wish list. And that's the hardest one by far, especially in a labor shortage situation. But you got to be very careful how you vet and very, very calculated how you interview to really dig down to the type of person you're hiring. Now, some contrast is nice, but ideally, you're going to get the same type of person who's wired the same type of way, who's motivated by the same things. That creates and fosters a really dynamic work environment to where you really take the work out of work. Because people know everybody's doing their job. I mean, think about all the conflict you have with employees, like so-and-so is not picking up their slack or so-and-so is stealing my mise en place, which I heard that one's a chef 10 million times, right? But me as a person, I would never steal someone's mise en place, right? So I would make double. So why can't I find some more people that are wired like that, right? Because they're going to support each other rather than steal from each other. And again, too, if you're looking at your culture and you know you have that individual, but they show up on time and they fill a void, but they're causing all that strife internally. Sometimes you got to get rid of them, man. If you can't change your people, you got to change your people, right?
Absolutely. You know, a critical element of culture for me was the alignment around mission.
Yeah.
What I found is that the culture started, the root of the culture was the target, what we were trying to do.
Exactly.
In my fine dining restaurant, we wanted to be the preeminent Southern house on the West Coast. That when you thought Southern food, when you thought Southern culture, you thought about my restaurant. And that is what we all work towards. And we had talked about being good. We had talked about being great. We had talked about working hard, working efficiently. But again, I think those are all process-driven ambitions and not inspiring. No one goes home and tells their wife, you know, we want to get really efficient at work. I'm really excited about it.
Yeah.
You know? But when they I'll would, say that. They, yeah. Right?
I say that stuff to my wife, but she doesn't give a shit. She's like, yeah, go have fun.
But like, there's this massive opportunity to get people aligned around a mission. And when we said we wanted to be the best, that when you think Southern food, you think us because we are the hardest working. We are the most efficient, right? We're the most innovative. We're working the hardest to make sure everyone's having a great time from both like our internal teams and our customers as well. It made it really easy. And I would hear other people talking about our mission.
I love that. So it's like, have you ever heard of Culver's?
Yeah.
It's a Midwest fast food chain.
Yep.
They have one of the best mission statements. And I can't quote it word for word, but essentially what it boils down to is, as long as they leave with a smile, we know we did our job. And I love that North Star you're talking about. For again, go back to what I said. Your employees make hundreds of decisions when you're not around. God, it'd be nice for them to have a guiding light, wouldn't it? For them to have a North Star say, I'm lost. How do I head the right direction? Well, shit. Anything I do, as long as it leads them to smiling on the way out the door, our organization wins for multiple reasons. So it could be that simple. But how many restaurants do you see with mission statements that actually believe in their mission statement?
Absolutely.
Not enough. But we talk about the semblance of good culture. You as an owner, you as an operator, you got to figure out what your mission is, what that single most important thing for you is as far as you're driving your business and sustainable profitability and all that jazz we wrap up to it. Boil it down to one quick sentence that everybody can memorize and then just cram at home until no one can forget it. And then everybody's acting under that umbrella. Everything they do is a function of being the best Southern restaurant in the world, or everything they do boils down to every customer leaves with a smile. No matter what happens from the time they enter to the time they leave, as long as they have a smile, we win. And what Culver's does too, which is really smart, is with the kids' meals, they give you an ice cream voucher. And after your meal, right before you leave, you go up and exchange that ice cream voucher for an ice cream cone. Tell me a kid on the planet that's not smiling when they walk out the door with an ice cream cone. Simple, but damn, is that brilliant.
If you want to hear previous episodes or check out our other content, go to restaurants.yelp.com/marketing school. Thank you so much for listening to the show. You can subscribe wherever you get your podcast. While you're there, please leave us a review. I'm Josh Koppel, and you've been listening to Restaurant Marketing School.